Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there in P4P Nation. We have got a good show today. I got one of the guys out here that I've seen from show to show, and I keep seeing him backstage and bumping into him everywhere. And just a great guy all around, always helpful. You know, I thought maybe he's one of the expediters the first time I met him, and he was helping some other gentlemen, helping some other people do their thing. And I'll just introduce him now. Rex, you there?
I'm here, Kalen.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. There's some things that you do that are very unique, and like I said, you're so helpful sometimes. I think people might mistake you for being someone else. What brings about that kind of personality to be a coach, to be that helpful, and just see problem spots and just want to intercede before it becomes worse? You know, because I think that was the first time where I really got, you really got my attention, where someone was doing something really wrong backstage, and you just had to go over and say something. You know, what creates that kind of drive in a person?
I would guess I would say, Kalen, it's more just having a passion for the sport. I do have a lot of passion for the sport, and I try to help out anybody who I see is trying to better themselves, and I hate seeing competitors not be prepared for a show and not be ready. So you always want to help them the best you can because it keeps the sport growing. So I know it takes a lot to get your own competitors ready for a show. I'm getting a couple of my guys ready for a show right now. And it takes so much, you know, to coach, work discipline, stress to, you know, think of everything that you need to do. Something always goes wrong. You got to fix it. So it takes a lot. So a lot of times it's easier just to focus just on your competitor. But guess what? We need all the competitors to have a show.
And I'm really glad you said that, because one of the things I forgot to mention is that this guy was actually going up against one of your people, and you still thought enough to, like, hey, I can't have this person going out on stage looking that way.
Right. Well, the thing is that my job is to have my guy or my female prepared. So if I got my guy or my female prepared, I don't mind helping somebody that's getting ready to compete against them. Because, of course, you want to win. Of course, you want to be successful. But the thing is that if my competitor is ready, they should play, you know, good. That competitor is good, you know, they're going to compete against them. And you want competition for your competitor.
And, let's backtrack a little bit. Introduce yourself, give us some history of you, and because, we're familiar with each other, but there's a lot of people out in the natural community that are just learning about some of the upper echelon of competitors, coaches, promoters, and shows. So if you could introduce yourself again for the first time on P4P, real talk.
Okay. Rex Thompson, and I coach and train competitors.
And how long have you been
I've been doing this, I would say, for at least about 15, 20 years. I took a break for a while from training competitors and then started back again, I guess, about 6-7 years ago. I started back again training competitors.
And so
I took a break, I guess, at that time because of, like I said, the stress and the time consuming that it takes to train competitors along with personal life and stuff like that. So it was just one of those times I just needed a little break from it, and then I got back into it about 6-7 years ago.
Now, you have not lost that passion, and that's something I think, I hope people don't misunderstand what you're saying. You said you needed a break because, sometimes we do have to hit the brakes because it can become all-consuming if you're not very careful, and I'm glad you were able to catch yourself before it became a damage to, to the outside parts of your life.
Yeah, it's just a thing that every once in a while you have to take a step back. There was some different business things and occupational things that I was doing, other things that I was doing to financially take care of myself and my life and everything, that I needed to take care of some other things and do them. So there wasn't a time that I could put into training. Most of the competitors that I train, I keep my group small. I only normally train about 5 or 6 competitors at a time. And the reason why that is, I don't have a big team of competitors like a lot of the other coaches do, where they got 15, 20, 30 competitors. I don't find anything wrong with what they're doing. It's just that I like to be in the gym weekly with the people that I'm training, actually every day training them instead of, giving them a piece of paper and telling them to do this and check back in with me here and there. I like to be more hands-on. So it's tough to train a lot of competitors if you're being hands-on. So normally I just keep my group small, 5 or 6 at a time, 7 or so at the most.
To each his own, and, there's some people that don't like being hands-on, and they like, they like the hands-off approach. And there's some competitors that really don't like to be having the coach around. But, I don't knock either way because, I learned that stuff is almost like church. No matter how you want to serve the Lord, there's a church house for you. So,
I don't knock it at all. I think that every coach has his way of doing things, and every coach takes on what he feels he can handle. And you're correct. There's a lot of competitors that don't want a one-on-one coach. They want that space between them and the coach. And I know quite a few other coaches that have the bigger groups, 15, 20, 30 competitors, and they're very successful. They play well. They win a lot of shows. So it's to each his own. I'm just saying this is what I choose to
what
do.
What works for you.
Yeah.
And I'm just making clarification because, we right now, and you've been witness to it as well, is, there's been a lot of a negative atmosphere, especially at the beginning of the season. And I think it was basically people being so sensitive to everything that was said, it was almost like they were looking to pick out certain things, basically to piggyback and make a big issue. So basically I'm reiterating something that we both know, but I'm just clarifying for the listeners to make sure that we're not going at anybody. We're just saying, just speaking our mind, because this is real talk, and we're going to speak, real, because I'm not going to be ducking and dodging. That's just not going to happen. And, go ahead.
No, but I'm never trying to be offensive or point a finger at anybody, because in this sport, everybody has their own way of being successful and their own way of doing what they do. So I'm just speaking my mind that this is how I do it.
Exactly.
Everybody has their own way to get it done. Competitors have their own way that they like to coach. Coaches have their own way that they like to coach. So, and then people not liking what you say or whatever, that's okay too, because that's a part of what goes on in this sport. Everything's really protected. Anything you say, anything you do, how your competitors look, how you coach, that's all critiqued. I never take any offense against any criticism that I make or somebody might say about me or how I it's part of the business.
Yeah. And with your successes, I doubt if they are being critical, it's basically out of jealousy. Let's be real about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and then a lot of times, sometimes it's out of jealousy, but a lot of times people just have their own opinion of how they see things or how they don't see things. So I always feel that it's, there's a such thing as good criticism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, as a coach, I'm sure you've had to ensure that to where, you know, you know, things have to improve and they have to do it by this time and date or, you know, that stepping on stage ain't going to happen. And that has to be
right.
Said in a way it can be heard. So I know what you're saying with that. And I'm more of a hands-on as well because, you know, it's easier when you can catch it before it becomes a problem because, you know, I'm a stickler for form and a video sometimes or a picture just can't catch that for me. And, you know, so
right.
I basically right. like to keep it in-house too. But, you know, like I said, there's some people that can see that a mile away. I know Dr. Joe, when he's dealing with nutrition, he can map out stuff just off of three pictures. And I said, that's phenomenal for me. That's amazing. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's that.
And everybody
that's
has. Yeah, I think everybody has their expertise. And some of the coaches are really good at being outside of the gym, not in the gym with their competitors, but always having that competitor ready and always having that competitor right on point, and that competitor is very successful and doing well. And I have
yes.
to all to the guys that do it that way. It's just that I guess I'm just kind of old school about it.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to stick on that realm because there's something that, you know, you've seen, and you get to see it more than I because you're down in that area. Because I really feel that the mecca of natural bodybuilding is in your region because it's just got some phenomenal competitors. And I'm not knocking the West Coast or the East Coast, but the competition level coming out of the Missouri-Kansas area is really something to behold. I mean, you're getting guys from Nebraska, you're getting people from Kansas, Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, just basically all through that region, but they seem to want to end up there. As a coach, you know, and as a fan, and as a person that just loves the sport, I know that's got to be a great feeling to see every year the transition of these bodies to just better and better physique and, you know, better health. It's really, for me, I'm really excited. And, you know, the upcoming Kansas City show, I'm sure is going to be just as good or better with what everybody's been bringing, you know, year after year.
Yeah, they're just getting better and better. And you're right, in this region, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's in the water or what. But it's growing, and the competitors are getting better and better. You know, each show that I do in this area, the competitors are better and better, and it's just more and more popping up. So this area is really growing. I agree with that.
Yes. I don't really like doing call-out names, and I'm not going to start, but there was a fella, I told him 2 years ago when he won in this area, and I said, you know, that look you have is good, but I could see the changes happening with these competitors. And I said, 2 years from now, that look won't win. And I'm not sure if he went on to win his pro card that year or the year after. But he basically stepped on stage with the same look and wasn't even in the top 10. So, you know, it's getting that good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting a lot better, and I'm noticing a trend that they're younger and younger that they're getting better.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a 19, 20, 21-year-old competitor, they could look good, they could be in good condition in that, but they normally couldn't compete against the guys with better size and more muscle maturity in that. But, The younger people are getting better and better at this sport, and they're getting better and better at a younger age. So it's showing in all ages.
That's so true. That's so true. And, you know, the social medium and the coaches, and like I said, just that region in general has really brought out the best, you know, because either I noticed that either people are more prone to accept bad health or where they're just running totally against it, and either sports enthusiasts or you know, something where they have to have that active lifestyle, and when they picked up the weights, they just couldn't put them down.
Right. And the more shows that have come in this region over the years, that's brought a lot more competitors in the sport in this area. And I guess what it is, the more you hear shows in your area, the more people are interested in trying it and getting in shape to do them.
Mm-hmm. And also knowing that there's the natural shows where they don't have to sit there and ruin their health to actually, you know, do something that they think they would enjoy.
Yeah, because right now we have a lot of natural shows in this area, in the St. Louis, Kansas City area, Illinois area. I would say right now you probably got about 6 to 7, possibly even 8 shows that you can do within a 200-mile radius area.
Yeah, and you're talking top-quality shows. And you know, that's one of the things because When I first started following bodybuilding, there was a lot of five and dime shows that really didn't care about anything other than getting some money in their pocket up in this
right.
Region. And, you know, the promoters were Gucci at best. And I say that in a nice way, but you really had to question, you know, what is your motive and, you know, what's your goal? It seemed like, you know, there was a lot of underhandedness, but that's been driven out, which I'm so thankful for because, you know, I said in order for the natural side to get better, basically everything had to improve, you know, across
right.
the board, competitors included.
Well, you have a lot of promoters nowadays that have a lot of passion for the sport that you didn't
yes.
have back then. Keith Hunter, John and Becky mm-hmm. Martin, Fred and his
yes.
wife in Kansas City. So you got a lot of promoters now out there that really have a passion for the sport, really care about the different competitors and have a good
mm-hmm.
rapport with everybody. So it's making it a lot better.
Yes. And, you know, there was nothing better for me to see, even though it was painful for Becky, was to see when something had gone wrong for a competitor and she and Becky Arnold was hurt. You know, and that really just kind of got me because, you know, I was, like I said, I wasn't used to that. I was used to, you know, well, we got the money, so what? And that then you see
right.
her, something got going right for one of the competitors. And that just almost stopped her in her tracks where she didn't even feel comfortable because she was just so hurt for the competitor. And that was so new to me, I really didn't know how to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, like I say, so, you know, the more you get more and more promoters in this business that have a passion for the sport, they're close to the coaches, they're close to the competitors, they encourage them all and help them along in that, you know, you just bring along a different level of competitors and you bring the passion, you know, to the competitors in the sport.
Yes, and that was sorely needed, you know, because I think because we were so out there that people really didn't know what the high elite competitors. We weren't around each other enough. I thank God for social media bringing us so much closer to where you can see what the elite competitor looks like, you know, because I used to say it 100 times, but I don't have to say it as much now. I said, you know, gym ready is not stage ready. And a lot of people were thinking, you know, just because the person in the gym is telling them how they look, that they're supposed to walk into the show and win. And come home and let everybody, you know, pat them on the back and tell them a good job they did. That's not the case
right.
anymore. You got to bring it.
Yeah, social media has really opened that door because now you can, you know, for the competitors that put progress pictures on Facebook or whatever, you can see what they look like. There was a time
mm-hmm.
that met a competitor at a show, and backstage you and a competitor really hit it off and talk. You guys may exchange numbers. You may talk every blue moon, but you really wouldn't see each other until the next show. Now pretty much you communicate on a weekly or daily basis with a competitor in Chicago, a competitor in California. You stay close to each other during that whole time through social media, send each other pictures and things like that. So it has changed the sport a lot.
Yes, and we've grown so much because of it. But like I said, because of that, the competition grew too, because you didn't have the Illinois winner basically having an Illinois look, and then you go to Missouri and you realize you're about to get your butt spanked backstage before you even step on stage. And because it was that kind of difference. And I think that's where we were limited, because where the other organizations and federations were doing things, the natural community had basically been stuck in sand, because, you know, we didn't have that outlet to show the best, because, you know, the magazines weren't there. There weren't that many outlets to show what an elite natural competitor looked like. And if you weren't really
right
at Google, then you just didn't find out.
Yeah, Facebook has opened that door where you can see what the natural competitors look like and how well they look, and that they can attain the same kind of condition as the competitors that aren't natural. But,
yes,
you know, hopefully we keep growing, you know, in that way, the natural sport. We'll keep promoting it more, keep finding ways to get more sponsors. The more sponsors you get, the bigger you can grow. That's why the NPC and IFBB are as big as they are, because of the amount of sponsorship money they have behind the organization. And as the IFPA and the other natural organizations grow, and hopefully keep working hard to gain more sponsorship, you know, hopefully we can start getting more of the natural athletes in some magazines, and some magazines that are available that anybody can see. And more money, you know, money is going up in the shows, and hopefully it can keep going up more and more, so we keep the athletes and more athletes start, you know, wanting to compete.
Yeah, and that's one of the drawbacks, you know, is that the prize money, it's a lot of complaining about it, and also the exposure from that, you know. But that's changing, because, you know, Ben Joseph has stepped up, and we're getting more coverage for the shows live, even though it's on the internet. It's still covering, and people can watch it live, where they can actually enjoy it and see what true competition is before they have to get there. Because, you know, I'm sure as a coach, you've done this as I have, where I take the people that want to compete that are going to be trained under me to a show before they have to actually step on stage, because I said, it's really not what you think, and it's a lot more than you expect. And you know, sometimes it has to be, like you said, some hands-on to where they actually understand what they're getting into.
Right. Yeah, especially for new competitors. I find it really hard to get a new brand competitor ready for a show if I'm not there with them more in the gym to be more hands-on, because just basically even just learning how to train properly, do the exercises properly with good form, and that's hard to tell somebody how to do that over the phone or whatever. So it's therefore so valuable to me to be in the gym with a newer competitor, more so than a more seasoned competitor. The more seasoned or more veteran a competitor is, yes, the less time you have to spend with them one-on-one, the more they know what you want from them.
I agree. And, you know, like I said, I'm a stickler for form. And it honestly, with the injuries I've seen, you know, basketball, football, baseball, track and field, volleyball, you just name it, it's so many that were basically started right in the gym. And it's
right,
just from bad form and bad habit of lifting, and then, you know, it just goes into everything else. And that,
right,
I don't know if it just having a mother, I mean, a mom that was a nurse, and her just having to see these needless injuries. And that was the one thing she'd always tell me about, is these needless injuries that were happening just from everyday movement and function. And I was like, well, what does that have to do with it? If you can do it every day, then what's the problem? But she said, if you're damaging yourself every day, then how can that be beneficial to what you're trying to do? And that,
right,
you know,
that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I tell my competitors all the time, if you're injured, we can't compete.
That's
you
right.
Know, it's just simple as that. If you're injured, we can't compete. So knock on wood, so far I've never had a competitor injured on my watch. So it's about doing everything that you need to do properly in the gym. And, of course, we know what's up front first is proper nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And it's so many things that need to be covered. And thank God that we've actually got the people with the heart, the passion, and the mind to do that. Because, you know, like I said, it used to be a lot different. I said, you know, we might consider the up-and-coming competitors now spoiled. I don't think so. I think, you know, thank God that they finally get the right teaching that we should have had when we first started, because there was a lot of ignorance running around. When I started lifting, there was some information I wouldn't pass on to my dog. And I just can't imagine how some of that stuff was believable. But, you know, when someone's trusting you with their health, I'd be even more concerned when they just say, well, I'm all in, and you basically can't give them all you know because you don't really know enough to train them. And, you know, like, God bless the guy that really had a passion to help me. But, boy, I mean, it was brutal with some of the stuff that he had me doing. I just thank God that my health isn't as bad as it could have been with what he was trying to teach.
Yeah, back in the day, it was pretty much most competitors were training themselves, which is very rare to find many competitors nowadays that train themselves. Most of them are smart enough to know you got to have a second eye on you and a second opinion.
That's right.
So back in the day, competitors train themselves on a regular basis, or they listen to their buddy, you know, at the gym on what to do to get ready for a show.
And the thing that, the guy that taught me was an enhanced individual. And he was doing his best to train me, but he had me going on his regimen. And with his recovery level, it was hard for me to keep up. I tried. But, you know, he was, you know, when all he's got to do is take a shot or, you know, get his cycle in. And 4 hours later, he's ready to go again. And it was taking me like maybe a day and a half to get the recovery that he was taking. You know, as well-intended as he was, he had just forgotten that aspect of it. And I was wearing down pretty quick, you know. And, you know, it started out with like a cough or a cold, and then it just started constantly getting worse to where your wrist hurts or your knee hurts because it's not, you know, just constantly something. And then finally I just had to tell him, you know, I gotta take a break because I'm really hurt. It's not like I want a day off. It's like I need a day off because, you know, all the gains that he's seeing, I'm seeing the weight loss.
Right. Well, the thing is, too, is that no two competitors are the same. So you can have two competitors. It can be two women. It can be two guys. They can be the same height, the same weight. But their chemical makeup of their body is going to respond differently to certain foods, to certain exercises. And so it's very hard to assembly line train, you know, competitors.
Yes.
Some
Amen.
People do it, and that's why they don't have success with their competitors, because if you got three competitors and you're training all of them the exact same way, well, that training may work for one of them, and the other two it may not. So now you got one competitor that's successful, but the other two that never do well. And they're not understanding that, well, I'm training right along next to him or her. Person is always successful, and I'm not. Well, guess what? Well, that particular training, that particular dieting is for that competitor, but it doesn't work for you. So you got competitors, you have to get to know that competitor's body. and figure out, once you get to know their body, what training, what nutrition works for that competitor, what way of bringing them down for the show works for that competitor over the next one. I don't think you can ever train two competitors exactly the same.
You know, and even if you have, like you said, everything works out, everybody's got a different body part that responds differently. So even, you know, I can't see pushing somebody exactly the same, dieting exactly the same, because you're basically saying you should look the same. And I said the one blessing for natural bodybuilding is you definitely get to see unique physiques. And that's so above everything that I did know, because I was used to seeing the assembly line talk rate of it. And it was really something to see it like that, because when you're watching that kind of arena, you're used to, okay, this guy is just going to be a little bit shorter, but he's going to basically have the same kind of cut, this, that, whatever. On a natural stage, it's totally opposite.
Right. Yeah, and it's, like I said, you just can't train every competitor saying, this guy genetically has good arms. So guess what? Whenever you train his arms, they're gonna give you good progress. This guy here genetically doesn't have good arms. So guess what? You're going to have to work harder to bring his arms up. So you can't train the guy with good genetics in his arm the same way you do the guy that doesn't have that.
I've actually been yelled at for that. And I think that's so funny, because I'm basically giving him a compliment in the nicest way, but it's not taken that way. You know, why don't you work my arms as hard as you work his? Well, we don't have to work your arms as hard as his.
Right.
But, it's like sometimes people take it the wrong way, and you have the – it's like you said, you just see the response in the muscle. And it's like, then I don't need to go balls to wall. We can send those nutrients to another part that's struggling, and let that body get the excess and the overflow. But I'm glad you said that, because it reminded me. I got chewed out pretty good on that one. Why are you working me as hard as I think? It's nothing against. I said, actually, you got a better, but you don't want to, I don't really like passing all that information in front of other people, because it's like, well, it's nothing against that individual. They just got to work harder. And that, that's the nature of the beast, because I give a good example. My brother, my older brother, was just the big guy in the family. He no matter what, if he picked up three sticks, it seemed like his arm grew an inch. And that's just how it was growing up. And I'm a skinny kid. And, like Dad said, my dad told me, you're just going to have to work harder than you do if you want to see those same results. Either you bellyache about it and do nothing, or you take, do half steps about it and basically get half results, or you bust your butt where he doesn't have to work as hard and you both end up in the same street. That's the nature of the beast. I'm not mad about it,
Right. Well, it's just like, also, you can imbalance somebody that way. If somebody has good genetic arms, as I was saying, and you keep, developing their arms more and more and more, and now maybe their arms don't match their legs. So now they come on stage, they don't have a complete body, or their arms and shoulders have grown so big that now it's dwarfing their chest. Well, this guy actually has an okay chest, but because of his arm size, it's made his chest look a lot smaller, so now he looks imbalanced on stage. And every time this guy competes, the judges are saying the same thing, bring up your chest. But a guy's trying to bring up his chest, but he's still overdeveloping his arms. His chest is never going to catch up.
That's right. And in symmetry, everybody's learning now. The guy that basically had everything together, what used to win, but now symmetry is a big thing. It's always been part of the criteria, and a lot of people are finding out, just because you had the best legs on stage doesn't mean you're going to win the show. Just because you had the best chest on stage doesn't mean you're going to win. It's got to be an overall package.
Yeah, overall balance, and the shows have grown over the years more and more about condition. You know, used to time if you had good size, good big full round muscle belly, that was so impressive on stage that, you know, it was hard to beat that. But now I see guys on a regular basis got a good package, a complete package, big full round muscle belly. But now two guys stand on both sides of them with great conditioning, and it really makes that guy look soft and smooth. So now it's about that you have to bring the complete package, you know. Be as balanced as you can. Every guy can't have the biggest legs on stage or the biggest chest. But the package you have, make sure it's as balanced as it can be and bring it in great conditioning, and it will always look good on stage.
Yeah, that's true. And now this brings up something that I've been concerned about. Because, they, you know, bodybuilding is almost taking a back seat now to men's physique because of that conditioning that you're speaking of. Because some of these men's physique guys are coming in great conditioning. I mean, they're basically wearing the board shorts, but they got the legs underneath. And you've seen it backstage just like I have. They could be bodybuilding if they wanted to, but their passion lies in men's physique. And they do bring some phenomenal packages. I mean, Monte Ellis is a good example. Anthony Pugnano, Ryan Anderson. I mean, some of these guys, you know, are bringing some great, great packages to the men's physique state. But where does that leave bodybuilding? If you know, how are we going to start as a, you know, as a group where bodybuilding can still have relevance? In these organizations and competitions?
Yeah, that's a really a tough subject, and it's getting to the point now that I even hear people joking about it and saying that men's physique is like the new male bikini because there's so many competitors, you know, in physique. Now the physique classes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger in the show so that there's more physique guys than there are bodybuilders. I think what it really comes down to is it's a lot easier to obtain one half of your body being really, really good and the other half of your body being okay. The bodybuilders are so hard about every inch of their body, where the physique guys, great physiques, they're putting in the same hard work, so I'm not taking anything from them. I'm not knocking them any. But the whole point is, you get to cover up most of your lower half with your shorts, then that's a whole part of your body that you never had to really show. Where that bodybuilder, he has to show that whole leg. And so he's going to be critiqued on how, what condition his legs were in, what kind of muscle separation he had. Well, that physique guy's not going to be critiqued in that part of his body. So it's always a little tougher for the bodybuilders because you're looking at everything they got.
Yes. But now, like I was saying, do you think they're going to actually try to bring size back to bodybuilding? Because, you know, honestly, now, you know, the crossover is not just open in masters or open in novice. The crossover is men's physique and bodybuilding. And there has to be some kind of separation, I think, if we're going to keep some relevance to actual body, open bodybuilding as a class.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they're going to be able to do about it because physique guys are getting better and better. But the other thing I've noticed is they're bigger. They're getting bigger and bigger. So now a lot of your top physique guys are just as big as, and some of them bigger than your top bodybuilders, at least up top, that's what you can see. And like you said earlier, some of these guys do have good legs that they're hiding up there. But the point is that leg is still not being judged. They're just being judged, basically, you might as well say, from the waist up. So it's tough to say because your natural bodybuilders at some point can only get so big naturally. You know? So once your physique guys' size are matching your bodybuilder's size, you know, then what do you do?
That's my question, yes.
Some kind of way you are going to have to come up with a separation. Exactly what they're going to do it, I'm not really sure.
Because, that is something. Because, you know, I remember, I don't remember the article, but they were saying, is bodybuilding dead? And I said, no, it's not dead. It's just basically being surpassed by men's physique. Because, like you said, they're going into it in droves because it is a little bit easier to get into. And not that the upper elite guys aren't doing the work, but the people that are saying, well, you know, I skip leg day all the time, but I got a great upper body. And they're stepping on stage a lot sooner than the person that would have to bring an overall package because, you know, basically you have to do a lot more and cover so many more facets of your body. Because you are being, you know, in bodybuilding, you're everything. It's just everything.
Right.
And you figure if a guy has to take 3 months instead of a year to prepare, then he's basically helping that promoter because he's bringing his money right now.
Right. Well, it's funny that you brought this subject up because I was just talking to a couple of my athletes today because they saw where in the NPC IFBB, they're having the same problem. So they came up with a solution for theirs, but I don't know if it'll work for natural bodybuilding. These guys are able to take whatever they want to take, you know, side hook and drug-wise in that. So, of course, the male bodybuilders in the NPC IPB are huge. But also, the physique guys can take what they want to take. So they're really getting bigger and bigger, too. So they announced it today that in 2016, the NPC IFBB is coming up with a new category. And that category is called classical physique, which is basically a bodybuilder. And this bodybuilder will be between bodybuilding and physique. And how they're going to control it is they're going by height and weight. So let's say if you're 5'8" to 5'9", you can be no bigger than 192 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And so it starts at like below 5'5" and 5'6" on up, and it goes all the way up to over 6'3". So they're giving you a height and a weight criteria that you must meet. So now they're limiting how big these guys can be at a certain height. So now you can't have, like you do in the IFBB, you can't have a 5'8" guy that's 230 on stage.
Yeah.
If this guy's 5'8", he's limited to being 180-some pounds. You know, if he's over 5'8" to 5'9", he's limited to being 192 pounds or whatever. If he's 6'1", he's limited to being 200 pounds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're basically creating a category of bodybuilders that will not be allowed to go as big as they want to, like the physique guys are doing with the cycles that they're taking and the bodybuilders. So they're going to have a criteria in the middle that's under a certain kind of control. Okay, the difference in natural bodybuilding in IFBB, if you're taking that cycle, you're getting really big. Well, if the natural guys aren't taking those cycles and they're not getting as big, can you create something in between those two? I don't know, really know if you can. But basically,
well,
that's a new category that comes in 2016. And so once that category comes, now here's the other problem with that category. A lot of your natural guys will fit in that category without taking anything. So if your natural guys fit in that category without taking anything and they can get a pro card in that category and they can get more exposure and a bigger payday, will that start taking more natural guys away from the natural sanctions and putting them over in the IFBB NPC?
If they're strict
with that criteria, if they are very strict with that criteria, a lot of your top natural guys would fit in that classical physique class. And that's not going to be physique with boy shorts. That's going to be guys as bodybuilders on stage in posing trunks, but fitting within a height and a weight category. Now, they'll still be able to take whatever they want to take, but a lot of your natural guys have good enough genetics and good enough physiques that they fit in that category, even with the guys taking what they're taking, because those guys can only be so big at a certain height. Well, right now, they can be as big as they want to be at whatever height.
Yes, that's a good point, and I'm sure that's probably kicked in to one of the reasons why they'd even want to do it, is to basically dip into the natural ranks again. Because I know a lot of the things they changed, like the men's physique, was basically to dip into the natural realm and pull from that stock. And it worked to a certain extent, because we have guys that are completely natural and can compete easily in men's league, but they would be bodybuilding in the natural organization.
Right. So the whole thing is that the gap between what's going on with men's physique and men's bodybuilding is something in natural federations to consider. But the biggest thing is, to me, in natural bodybuilding, at some point, somehow, the promoters, the powers that be above the different natural organizations has to come up with a way to get more sponsors, bigger sponsorships, so they can get more money, so the competitors can make more money, the competitors can get more exposure, and they won't be tempted to cross over, because when they come up with this new category in 2016, a lot of your top competitors could fit over there without taking drugs, you know, mm-hmm. with that height to weight ratio. So
exactly.
It's like, you know, get exposure here in natural bodybuilding. The paydays go up more. The guys are able to get bigger sponsors, and the competitors can get better. You know, bigger sponsors you can get for the shows, the bigger sponsors the competitors can get to help to pay for the financial burden that it takes to do these shows, the more you're going to get your competitors. Bottom line, it's about money.
Yes. And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because Fred had challenged me. And it makes sense where, you know, we have to find a way to come together, because that's when the sponsors can really come on board the way they would want, because then they can make the money basically going through the different organizations without feel like they're impeding anybody on anything.
That's true. You know, because the competitors, I mean, we know right now how much money it takes for a competitor to do a show, and the higher mm-hmm. level you compete on, and the more shows you want to do, the more expensive it is.
Yes, and it's definitely a labor of love, because you pay on both sides as a competitor, and you know that was the one thing that JB always talks about with PvP, is like, you know, when. Like you said, when does it get to the point where everything is being addressed, where it is, where it improves on all sides, not just in one facet or one area? Everybody basically improves, because you know, like I remember there was a time when the women had stepped up, the women female competitors had stepped up much better than the male competitors, and I said, well, now you know the guys got to step up. Because the women were
right.
coming in so crisp and so lean that they were almost embarrassing the male competitors. And I said, when that
right.
happened, then everything improved. And it seems like in bits and pieces we're doing it, but it's got to be that one year where, like you said, everything's got to come up. And then I think that's when people will take notice.
Right, yeah. And the thing is that I'm not sure what the organizations have to do. I don't want to step on anybody's toes or anything, but at some point, some of these organizations may have to combine to be able to
mm-hmm.
come up with enough sponsorship and enough money to pay the competitors more and create more exposure for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of way it has to happen.
Well, yeah, it has to happen. I mean, this is the thing where, you know, it's either die a slow death, or a step up and you know, everybody take, you know, what is that when it talks about compromise, how nobody's happy with everything, but everybody's happy they got something.
Right, yeah. So at some point it has to happen, you know, or I think natural bodybuilding is really growing now. I think it's really doing well, but we know mm-hmm. it's just like the stock market. It could change overnight. It could change next year. It could change in the next few months that it drops off if something doesn't happen to keep bringing it up. It's just like any business. You got to keep putting something in to keep your business growing.
Yes. And the biggest thing is, you know, right now with the stock we have in natural competitors, it's really good. I mean, there's names in every part of the country that can bring an A game really quick, and I mean, bring some really good stuff to the stage on a regular basis, not just one or two shows. But you know, you talk about somebody like a Marshall Johnson and Emoji, where they can just step in there, and Cleveland coming in there bringing the package, and now Meshack is coming out where he's being consistent. These things had to happen on the competitive side in order for the promoters and the sponsors to say, well, you know, if you do your part, we'll do ours. But now that they're doing their part, it's basically, okay, now everybody else has to step their game up.
Right. That's very true. That's very, very true. And with that caliber of competitors that's out there now, and you got a whole new young group of competitors that's coming up right behind these veteran guys that are just as good, and some of them, crazy to think about it, will probably be better than some of these guys. You know, at some point, these guys are going to want exposure and a little more money. Most of the competitors that you just named have a real passion for this sport, and that's why they stayed in the sport and worked as hard as they have for what the pay and the exposure is in the sport. But, you know, as the sport grows and you bring more and more competitors coming in that look like these guys and can perform like these guys, of course, you know, they're going to hope and want to the money in the sport and exposure in the sport to go up.
Mm-hmm. As it should. As it should, you know,
as it should. I mean, as you're getting better athletes, they're gonna want more for being better athletes. They're gonna want to see more for more how hard they're working. You know, it's only natural.
Mhm. And that's so true. But you know, I always felt bad for pioneers because they'll never get the service or the just recognition. Or much of anything that would, you know, basically say how hard they worked, how much they pushed, and how much they set everything in motion. And I think that's right. Sad. And, you know, hopefully it won't be like that much longer, where they can, like you said, still get one of those big paydays before they have to hang it up where they're being the elite competition. Not just stepping on stage for name recognition. I don't want that. I want these guys to get what they have coming to them because they have done the work. The women, you know, the Brenda Ray, the Patricia Payne, the Terry B, your competitors, you know, they're working too hard. They're doing too much, and they've been ambassadors for years on end. They need that. You know, it's to me, it's just not fair that they have to put in this kind of work and still see what they see.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just about promoting the sport more. The promoters, the leaders of these organizations, and I'm sure they're meeting, I'm sure they're talking about it now.
Oh, yes.
They've heard us talk about it enough that I'm sure they're working on something. And hopefully we see something soon in the future because, like you said, these athletes are working just as hard as an athlete in the NPC, if not harder.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
They deserve some just too. Will the money ever be what it is in the NPC? No. And, you know, let's be serious about it. It will never be that much. But most of the people that compete in natural bodybuilding have such passion for the sport. You want to do well. It's just like, you know, give them close to what they deserve, you know, and I think you'll keep them in this sport because, number one, they don't want to go through what an unnatural athlete has to. There are side effects on what these guys are taking in the NPC. So there's a price to pay for chasing that bigger money in the NPC. So, of course, if the money is not that big, you're also not paying that price that those athletes are paying. But the athletes in natural bodybuilding are good enough, work hard enough, present a good enough package in putting in the work to, you know, to get a little more that they're getting, you know, exposure, bigger paydays in the show. It's nice if an athlete is working hard, and you go to work every day and nobody knows, you know, this sport that they do, how they look and how well they do. It would be nice for that athlete to be able to go to work one day and somebody say, hey, I was in the grocery store today and I saw a magazine and you were on the front of it, you know.
Right.
So I know what you do and I know how hard you work. You know, that's the exposure that the NPC athletes have. You know, this guy is on the front of a magazine or in the middle of a magazine that everybody can see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that door can be opened in natural bodybuilding, I think it's going to really make a difference in keeping the athletes in this side, number one, and now just giving the athletes their just due.
Yes, and I think that's so important because, like I said, it's just you well, as a coach, you get to see people give their heart. You know, we're talking about families. We're talking about up-and-comers, but they got a life outside of this, but they still give 100% when they step in the gym doors. And as a coach, I'm sure that just, you know, it's got to weigh on you sometimes when you realize, you know, will they ever get what they really deserve?
Right. And so, you know, I stay positive. And I feel that day is coming, and I hope everybody hears us talking about it who can help to do something about it. And we got to do our part. You know, every coach has to do his part to help promote the sport, to help promote natural bodybuilding, you know, and do whatever they can to help the promoters, you know, promote their shows, promote their shows big and put bigger money there.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, like I said, Fred challenged me, Mr. Roulette challenged me. He said, we got to find a way to get these organizations to come together in a peaceful mind. And, you know, I was driving and I actually had an idea and I'm going to send it to them and see what they say. And we'll see what happens from that. It might be something they want to go with. It might be laughed at in my face, but at least it's something. Because we've got some great people on all sides. Now, we got Fred's show coming up. I don't want to sit there and forget about that. He's got the Kansas City. Is it the Kansas City Classic? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, the Kansas City Classic. It's a great show, a great brand show. I had one of my competitors in this show for the first time last year. I had Tremaine in that show. She won the overall and figure. And it's one of the better ran shows that I did. They have a running format. The show was ran well. It was on time. They really backstage keep the athletes moving. So it was a great show. They got us in there and they got us out of there. You know, really good.
And you know, Fred is a really big on time. The IFPA is really big on time. So they don't like to waste it. They really appreciate the competitors. They understand the diets and the nutrition part of it. And, you know, like I said, that region, my goodness, you guys, really, you really have a stacked deck when it comes to the level of competition. And I'm always impressed every time I come down there. And P4P is coming down there. We're going to do some big things down there, and you know, just having P4P on board makes me feel excited being a sponsored athlete by them and everything that they're doing to bring it up. So, you know, like you said, people have to step in. We have our parts to do, and I think that's what everybody's missing. We keep saying somebody, 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 but when does that somebody turn out to be us? And I think we really need to step in and step up ourselves to where there is no question about what could we have done. You know, it's like what's left for me to do, I think, would be the better question. Because, you know, it's so much that needs to happen. You know, if we all do our part, then everybody doesn't have to work as hard or do as much to get the links that we can actually attain.
Right. Yeah, so hopefully we'll come up with something. But Fred's show is coming up. I'm going to be there. I'm traveling down to the show, so I'm looking forward to it being just as good a show as it was last year.
And you actually got a guy that really looks up to you, the Giant Killer. He's supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's who I'm coming to see, the Giant Killer. That's who I'm coming to support. He's like my nephew. Me and his dad are very close. We're like brothers. I call him my little brother, and Davion's my nephew. So I'm coming to see him, see hopefully can he kill some giants.
I with the way he's that guy puts in some work. Oh my goodness. Ooh, that's got to make you feel proud.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about as for how the sport is growing, and we gotta find a way to give these guys some more exposure in that. This kid is just turned 20 years old, and what he's done since he was 16 to now is pretty phenomenal for any athlete at any level for what he's done, you know, at that age. And I'm very, very proud of him, you know, and what he's done. I have a competitor, Isaiah Malin, and him and Davion are very good friends, and he just turned 20 also. And I have never met two young men at such a young age that just eats, sleeps, and drinks and loves this sport as much as they do, you know, at such a young age. So something's going on good and right in this sport that somebody at that age can fall in love with this sport as much as these two guys have, you know, at 16, 17 years old.
Yes. And, I mean, they're not just in love with it. They're showing out. I mean, it's really impressive with the physiques that these guys are bringing. It's more than impressive. It's really something. And like you said, for that kind of love and passion to be there, somebody's doing something right. So, you know, you might hear people saying things that are negative, but, you know, it's too much positive going on for this to be wrong. And when you think about the alternative, go ahead.
Yeah, for guys like Davion and Isaiah to be that young and love the sport this much, that only grows the sport more because now you're creating a younger generation to want to follow these guys and do this sport at a younger age. Where years ago, back in the old days, guys didn't really start pushing in the bodybuilding, I mean really hard, till they were already in their 20s in that. These guys are competing and wanted to compete and were competing at, you know, 16 and 17 years old.
Yes. And that's a big difference because, you know, like for me, like you said, we were taught a lot of difference. So, you know, it's really nice, especially in a state of unhealth where you see people still choosing the healthy side. And that's a blessing in itself, especially at that age. That's really impressive because, you know, you do have the McDonald's class. You do have the Burger King. You do have the Taco Bell. I mean, you got commercials that are so cleverly designed that they're basically sweeping these kids straight in there with a broomstick of unhealth. And for them to fight through that and peer pressure and still be as dedicated as they are, it's really something to see.
Yeah, it is. You know, like I said, for them to be that young and then how the young generation is now, for them to show that kind of discipline is amazing. I definitely never showed that kind of discipline at 17 and 18 years old.
Right? Oh, my goodness. You better believe it. It's like, okay, something else is going on, the football game or something. I'll be back in a minute. These guys are basically 4 o'clock and they're still going.
Yeah, teenagers and eating tilapia and broccoli over hamburgers and french fries. Come on.
Mm-mm. Ain't happening. Ain't happening.
No.
Well,
I have enough time getting competitors that are 30 and 40 years old to stay disciplined and eat clean. Not even talking about it, you know, 16 to 18, 19, and 20.
Right? And you know, it's like the more you think about it, the more impressed you become, because you really understand, wow, you know, these guys are doing, but it's tough to have people do that are more concerned about their health, you know, because a lot of the people that I've had dealings with were basically told by the doctor, you know, either or. And I said, then it's really not an option. But when you can choose it and have an actual choice, that's when it's impressive.
Right, right. Very true.
Well, Rex, I, the show's at an end, and I'm really surprised. It seemed like it just started. But is there anybody you'd like to give a shout-out to, you know, the people that support you and help you keep the passion that you have?
No one in particular. To me, just really everyone in the sport, the other competitors that I meet, keep me having the passion. The other coaches that I meet in this sport keep me having the passion. So, to me, it's everybody. It's everybody and how hard they work and what they do. I'd like to give a little shout-out to, I have a competitor, Aston Bell, who I think you saw in DeKalb, who won a pro card in DeKalb, which was only his second pro show. He did Keith Hunter's show a year ago in June and won novice overall and second place in call class, and went on in November of 2014 to win DeKalb show and win the overall and get his pro card. So he's busting his butt and working really hard right now, and he's going to do this show in Atlanta, so that's going to be his first pro show, which is only his third show ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm throwing him right into the fire, and he's working really, really hard. I'm very proud of what he's doing. And so I would just like to congratulate him for how hard he's working and work he's putting into it. Charmaine is back in training. We're trying to develop a little more and give her some time to grow in that before she competes again. So she's doing really well. So I'm just giving that shout out to everybody. You know, keep doing what you're doing and keep working hard. And if nothing else, it's not just about all hard work. Have fun. Have fun doing this. You need to have fun in this sport and not take it too seriously. You know, work as hard as you need to. Be serious about it, but you want to have some fun in this sport too.
Exactly. Because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. I mean, it's a passion. I call it a labor of love. If you can't smile while you're doing it, you're doing something wrong.
Right. Right. So have fun, work hard, but have fun.
Exactly. But I want to bring up one thing because you brought it up, and I don't want the show to end without us touching on this. You talked about two big shows. Keith Hunter's shows are not small, and the DeKalb, the Midwest States, is not a small show. You're talking well over 100 well-defined competitors, because these shows that they come in, people are basically 5-6 competitions in, and they're stepping on stage at their best. And if for you to put them in shows at that size, it's easy. Well, not, I don't want to say easy, but you know in your heart if they're winning and they're winning outright that you can put them in a pro show because they're already at that level.
Yeah, they're tough shows. Two tough shows every year. Every year I put male or female competitors in that show. When I get there and get backstage, I'm like, oh, my God, look at that guy, look at that girl. So they're very good
shows. And I've always been impressed with Keith Hunter, and I've always been impressed with Ray Mikowski and how they bring it. But, you know, they don't ask what they won't actually bring to themselves.
Very true. Very true.
Well, Rex, thanks again. a great show. Thanks so much, man. It's always a joy talking to you. It's always just a blessing to get to speak with you because you always got something, you know. And I look at things, but you have that coach's eye, and even with your word, you still know how to look for the right thing and see it and bring it home. So thank you for that. Thank you so much. P4P is just more than happy to have just people like you that are just doing what you do. And thank God for you.
Hey, thank you, Kalen, and thanks for having me on anytime.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, be blessed, man. Thanks a lot.
You too, brother.
All right, talk to you later.